TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball. Raised in front of a computer screen. Raised for covering the game. Raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves. The Raised by Wolves podcast.
All right, here we are. Another edition of Raised by Wolves. Manny Hill and Danny Cunningham with you on a Thursday afternoon that we're technically kind of still the morning. Just before
noon.
Depends
on the time zone, really. I mean,
yeah, it's the afternoon somewhere, right?
You happen to be a big Wolves fan that lives in Florida, afternoon.
That's right. Yeah. We are here, and this is pretty incredible stuff that we're seeing with this team ever since the trade. They're 7-2 now since the trade after blowing out the Spurs last night. And this is fun. They're fun to watch. I mean, who knows if this sort of win pace is going to keep up. I don't think it will, but right now, it is a lot of fun, and last night was sort of the height of it. That was probably the best I've seen this team play since Tom Thibodeau became the coach, and they've had some pretty good games before under him in the 2.5 years he's been here, but that was a lot of fun last night.
I think the other one that would probably be in similar territory to last night was the blowout win over Cleveland last year,
mm-hmm.
when LeBron was still on the Cavs and the Cavs were good. That was a really good win. I forget the final score to that, but it wasn't quite as bad as last night's win, but it was a blowout in a similar sense. And just how good are these Wolves? This is my biggest question. I in part wrote about this last night. Is this still the honeymoon phase, or is this who the Wolves actually are?
It's hard to tell, right?
Mm-hmm. Because and they've been playing really well. They've been playing so well, in fact, that Judd Zolgad, host of Mackey and Judd here on 1500 ESPN, he was at the game with me last night, sitting next to me on press row. In the third quarter, he went on Wikipedia to look up the best winning percentages in the NBA all time. The 73-9 Warriors are out. The 72-10 Bulls are out. But anything after that's up for grabs still. And that's what Judd was looking up during the game, because he's clearly convinced that they are that good. No, but really, how long is this the honeymoon phase, or is this actually the Wolves?
It's hard to tell, because at some point, small sample size isn't small sample size anymore.
How long
right?
is it small though?
Right.
What is your definition of small sample size? Like, is it 5 games? Is it 10 games? Is it 3 games? Is it 15 games? Because I don't know. I don't have a rock solid definition for small sample size. And you know, that first week was definitely, and maybe even the second week, but it's been 3 weeks now. I mean, these dudes have been playing and part of this team for 3 weeks, and it's not as if they're all new to each other anymore. It's not like that honeymoon phase should still be going on. That's why it leads me to believe maybe the Wolves are for real. Maybe they are this good.
Yeah, I would probably put it, let's see, we're 9 games since the trade. I would put it at about 20 games. I think once they get to that 20-game mark, I think we'll have a pretty good idea. If they get to the 20-game mark and they're like 13-7 since the trade, then it's like, hey, we got something cooking here.
Well, that would mean they'd have to go 4-5 in their next 9.
Wow.
So putting it at the 20-game mark is essentially you calling this the same way I was about Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Because I took 21 games before I said Derrick Rose is good again. And Derrick Rose is good again. He was great again last night against
there
the Spurs.
There it is. You said it officially. You said it officially on the podcast now.
He was great last night against the Spurs. He's part of literally the best 5-man group in the NBA. That second unit with Covington that's been starting the second and fourth quarter. I mean, the Wolves were winning 28-25 after the first quarter against the Spurs on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
That second unit started the second quarter on a 22-4 run.
29-9 in that quarter.
That's where the game was won. Do you want to know how good Robert Covington was last night? Now, I know that the plus 44 for his plus minus is a stat that everyone's going to talk about, and rightfully so, because that is a freaking incredible number. But Covington played 30 minutes against the Spurs on Wednesday night. The Spurs scored 38 points in those 38 minutes. That's unbelievable. An NBA team was held to 38 points in a 30-minute stretch with one player on the floor.
That's incredible.
At some point, you have to think, is this guy just Defensive Player of the Year?
His defense has been incredible. I mean, you just look at the turnaround and listen, they were handed sort of a gift by playing the Nets twice and the Cavs and all
but
of that.
Even but then, even then, it's the Nets, like, the Nets are a top 10 offense. Yeah. I know they're not a great team, but the Nets are 10th in defense or in offensive efficiency. And the first game against the Nets, they didn't have Covington in charge. That was the shorthanded Wolves team. That was before the trade was 100% cleared. So that game, while it does count and it's a win and it counts as a win since a trade, it doesn't necessarily count in terms of how good this defense could be. Because that was the last time they allowed 110 or more points. They allowed 113 points in that win. I think they won 120-113 that night. But since then, they faced some good offenses. Pelicans, very good offense.
Yeah.
Blazers, very good offense. Mm-hmm. Nets, very good offense. Spurs, I believe, are 11th or 12th in offensive efficiency. So almost half of these wins, or more than half of these wins, have come against teams that are in the upper half of offensive efficiency in the NBA. Now, the Cavs and the Bulls aren't, but these other teams are. And that makes it impressive. It's not as if they're just taking some garbage teams to the woodshed every night. They're beating good teams, and they're winning games that they need to win if they want to be part of this Western Conference playoff picture. I know they're still a half game out of the 8 seed right now, but from where they started at 4-9 a little over 3 weeks ago to right now, it's incredibly impressive.
And they're starting to win on the road too. I mean, they were 0-8 on the road.
They were 0-8. They've won their last two. Now, granted, they were in Brooklyn and Cleveland, not exactly two tough places to play. I will say though, for that Cleveland win, there was a lot of travel going on.
Yeah.
I mean, they traveled
from. We talked about that Tuesday.
We talked about it on Tuesday. They traveled from Minneapolis to Brooklyn and Minneapolis to Cleveland in a 4-game stretch or in a 4-day stretch. That's a lot of travel, and that makes that win a little bit more satisfying for them. Not because they beat the almighty Cavaliers, because let's face it, the Cavs are terrible, but it was a satisfying win because they were exhausted.
How do we look at Josh Okogie now? Because the question came up last night, Johnny K, which I just chuckled and was just like, come on, really, when Tibbs gave his answer. But Johnny K, after the game, asked Tibbs about Josh Okogie, who we all know is not back in not in the rotation anymore. But he came in. Wolves had a big lead in the fourth quarter. He came in and played well. Played with some energy. Had a dunk that went pretty viral over the internet.
Best dunk of his career.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty damn good dunk.
Not as good as Cat's dunk against the Nuggets, though.
Over Millsap.
Yeah, not
I would
that
agree
good.
With that.
Cats is better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So Johnny K asked Tibbs about, you know, Okogie coming in, playing with some energy, and, you know, what can you say about him, even though he hasn't played much in the last couple of weeks. And the first thing Tibbs starts talking about is the 31 points they gave up in the fourth quarter. In a game that they won
their
by
defensive
30,
rating.
Yeah. In a game, Danny, that they won by 39 points.
Hurt their defensive rating, Manny. Can't have that.
Does it really mean anything? No, but it's just like, come on, Tibbs. Like, what are we doing here? You know?
And I understand the want that fans have for Okogie to play. And I want to see Okogie on the floor because
sure.
I think he's a part of the future in this franchise. I think he's really talented. He's got a lot of potential. And mm-hmm. I think he's a dude that deserves to be on the floor. On the flip side, the bench unit that they've been trotting out there.
You can't break it up right
now. You cannot break it up. It's literally been the best 5-man unit in the NBA that have played 40 minutes or more. It has literally been the best group of 5 players in the NBA. So you cannot break that up. I understand Okogie deserves to be playing, but who are you going to replace?
Yeah.
Who falls out of the rotation so Okogie can be in the rotation?
It's not broke right now, so why fix it?
They're arguably playing their best basketball of the Tom Thibodeau era.
My thing, though, is in situations like last night when Okogie does come in, and granted it was garbage time and Pop had already sort of waved the white flag and he'd put his reserves in and all
which
of that stuff.
I appreciate Pop doing.
Yes.
I really appreciate that because not every coach does that, and it's awesome because it makes the game not drag on.
Right.
Like that was aside from being the biggest blowout of the season for the Wolves, that was also the quickest played game of the season.
Yeah. But for me, it's just kind of like, okay, Okogie comes in and he plays with some energy. He's getting an opportunity that he hasn't gotten in a few weeks. And he gives you something. So it's like, Tibbs, throw the kid a bone. Like, just can't you just say, yeah, Josh did really well tonight. He got an opportunity. It's been tough because he's been out of the rotation, hasn't played in a couple of weeks. He played well. And then just, like, why do you have to put a negative sort of black cloud over it? Well, we gave up the 31 points we gave up in the fourth quarter. Tibbs, you won by 40. Who cares? Who cares?
I totally understand where you're coming from. I thought the funniest part of last night was not that answer, but the fact that the Wolves at one point led by 48 points, and the loudest Target Center got was when Josh Okogie stood up and unzipped his warm-up. When Tibbs looked down the bench and said, Josh, he stood up, unzipped his warm-up, that place got loud. And then it got louder when he dunks.
Yeah.
But that place got pretty damn loud when Josh Okogie stood up, unzipped that warm-up, and headed towards the scorer's table.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know in the grand scheme it doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of, like we talked about, you can't break up that bench unit right now because it's playing really well. And overall, the team is playing really well, so why would you
impressive
now?
That for a rookie and someone who never in his life has had to deal with not being in the rotation, I'm sure there has never been any level of basketball where Josh Okogie has not been good enough to be playing minutes.
Right.
Ever. At any level, whether it's rec league, high school, AAU, college, I'm sure he has never once in his life not been in the rotation. So for him to still be able to be ready and perform like that at a moment's notice, I think that's really impressive and says a lot about him, his character and his preparation and still the way he's trying to approach things. I think that's a huge positive for Josh Okogie coming out of last night's game, aside from, you know, knocking down shots and his dunk, just the mental capacity to be able to play that well when you're someone not in the rotation anymore.
Being ready to play and not complaining, as far as I know, he hasn't been complaining or fussing, and I'm sure he wants to be playing. Obviously, he was probably disappointed when he found out he wasn't going to play.
Who wouldn't
be? But he's not complaining about it, and when his number was called last night, granted in garbage time, he came out and he was ready to go. Okay, Andrew Wiggins.
If there was a dark spot of the game last night,
three
of 15 shooting again.
Dude, what is going on? This is bad. This is bad. This isn't just, well, you know, he's young and we got to get, like, he's bad right now. He's not a good basketball player right now.
He is not playing his best basketball. Let's just say that. The past four or five games have been really tough for him. And he was gone from the locker room before the media got in there last night. And I think part of that was we took a little bit longer than normal with Tibbs. And Wiggins is always typically the first one ready to talk and get out of there.
Yeah.
No matter if he has 40 points or no points. Like, he's not a guy that sticks around in the locker room late. So I don't think he was, like, trying to dodge the media last night. Because also, like, Derrick Rose was already gone by the time we got in there. And someone else was, too. So it's not like, oh, he's dodging the media. No, it was, like, we took a little too long to get in there. So... I'm not going to fault him on that, but he didn't talk last night, so we didn't get a chance to really ask him about it. But yeah, 3 of 15 is not good, and he's going to shoot himself out of the slump at some point because that basketball player,
right?
He's not going to come out and shoot 3 of 15 every night. He's going to have a night where he scores 30 points within the next month or so. I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah, I just my thing with this whole deal with Andrew right now is like we see these flashes.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the New Orleans game where he had the, you know, block, or Cat had the block, and then they had the two-man game, and Andrew had the big dunk. And like that, I tweeted it out last night too. That just seems like ages ago now. Like it's
the, and one, the is, one where he got a. Who was that, Marc Gasol?
No, it was against New Orleans. I think it was
Nikola Mirotic.
Mirotic, yeah.
And that was a tough night for Mirotić. He just sprained an ankle, got kicked in the junk. Like,
yeah, that was a rough night. It was a rough night for him. But that seems like ages ago. And I just remember that game and everybody being like, "All right, now maybe this is, you know, it's the first game. It's the first game with the new team, post Jimmy. You know, with everybody in place, and this thought that Andrew, okay, Jimmy being gone, it's going to open up things for Andrew. He's going to get more opportunities. He's going to cash in. And for that night, it seemed like, at least in that stretch in the fourth quarter, it seemed like, okay, now this is where he's going to turn the corner.
Yeah.
May still not live up to the contract, but he's going to get going in the right direction.
And we just have not seen it. And there's still
time for that. Sure.
And I'm not driving the train on the Andrew Wiggins fan club here, but it's kind of silly to write him off already. Like, we've seen guys that are just, you know, don't develop quite as quickly. Look at DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Look at Victor Oladipo.
I've been hoping that Andrew Wiggins turns into one of those guys.
It can absolutely still happen. He can 100% turn himself into DeMar DeRozan. 100% that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it likely? No, but it can happen. It's still too early to just close the book on him. And
I just hope he can turn into some resemblance of DeMar DeRozan. Like, just because right now it's just, we'll see some flashes of it, and then we'll see a 2 or 3 game stretch of flashes of it, and then we'll see 3 weeks of just.
And DeMar's probably not a good comparison, because DeMar's always been a below average 3-point shooter, and I think Wiggins has been better than that this year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe DeMar's not the best comparison, but in terms of just how long it took him to get going is a better comparison, because he wasn't a star coming into the league. You know, when did DeMar DeRozan really get good, and how long had he been in the league? It's something that Andrew Wiggins can still be good. And you brought up that it just feels like ages ago, that dunk on Mirotić.
Mm-hmm.
How long does this season feel? They've played 22 games. It feels like they've played 62 games.
Yeah. It does. It does. And I think just a lot of that just has to do with the Jimmy thing, right? Like, the Jimmy thing.
100%.
It just dragged on for so long. It dragged on longer than it should have. And it took a lot out of the team and people that were here. But it took a lot out of people in the media, I think, that were just having to cover it and talk about it every day. Yeah. I was, by the time it was over, for me, like that Saturday when we did a pod and talked about the trade, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm kind of glad this is over, because
100%.
Because it just went on.
I mean,
too
it
long
was
and
it
was
good because it gave us and people like us something to talk about. But at the same time, like,
it just went on too long.
Let's go. Let's get this thing on the
let's
on the
start
road,
talking
man.
About yeah. basketball.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're right. It does feel like more than 22 games. It does feel like 50 plus games that they've played. Fortunately, they haven't played 50 games left, and now we have still have about 60 games to talk about actual basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun. How is this? How has Cat looked to you, too? Because Cat just seems like, and we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday, Cat just seems much, much, much better, not just on the court, but just off the court, too. He just seems a little bit more at ease now that this whole Jimmy thing is behind him, and now he's got these new guys in the locker room, too, now, and he seems like in a much better place now.
I know on Tuesday we talked with Dane about, again, to bring up DeMar DeRozan, about how Kyle Lowry unlocked that those two became real-life best friends, and that's when DeMar DeRozan figured it out basketball-wise. Robert Covington could be that for Cat. These two are always the last two in the locker room. They're always making, you know, Cat takes forever, and Robert's typically done a little bit before him with, like, showering and changing in the media and stuff, but,
mm-hmm.
like, they're making dinner plans. Like, they're hanging out. They are legitimate friends, and that's something that I think Cat may have needed. I'm not to say that Cat couldn't have found this level of play by himself, because he's shown flashes of it, no doubt.
Absolutely.
But I think that this helps. I think that he's helped them on the defensive end. I mean, everyone saw the clips yesterday of those two interviewing each other. Like, at shoot around on Wednesday, Cat was the first one of those two to meet with the media, and Rob asked him the first question. And then it flipped, and Cat asked Rob a question. And, like, they weren't, like, serious, hard-hitting, super journalistic questions. Like, Kat was like, so did you meet with your shooting coach after you shot, like, one of a million in that win on Saturday night? And, like, who do you give credit for? Is Karl Anthony Towns a big reason as to why you were able to rebound? And Rocco was like, yeah, I mean, a lot of people that deserve credit. Kat is definitely not one of them. But, like, it's fun stuff like that yeah. we've never seen with Kat before. Not to say he's not a fun guy, because he's a dude that likes to always smile, and that's just how he is. But I don't think we've seen him have quite the bond like this with a teammate. And I could be wrong. I'm not exactly the guy that's been around the block with the Timberwolves for Cat's entire career.
Yeah.
So I'm not the right person to say that. But I find it hard to imagine that we've seen someone have this type of bond with Cat while he's been here before.
All right, last thing before we get out of here. These next couple of games I'm really watching as this homestand is going to wrap up over the course of the weekend with the Celtics coming in, the Rockets coming in, and then my guy Kemba Walker coming in on Monday.
He's been exciting to watch this year.
Boy,
he's been so exciting.
He's been a lot of fun.
Dropped 60 points on Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Jimmy Butler hit a game winner that night, but... Also, hang on.
Sure.
I think that there may be some subtle shots being taken at Butler, through quotes that these guys are saying.
Well, I saw Taj's quote last night in the post game with Marnie in the arena.
I did not catch that.
He basically, I don't know if it was really a direct shot at Jimmy, but it was just kind of like, he was just like, yeah, we're playing better. The distractions are over. Now we're just playing basketball. And
there haven't been, the word I've heard a lot in the locker room, particularly about the defensive end, is pride. Tyus Jones brought it up last night. Tyus brought it up last night. Jeff Teague brought it up last night. Cat brought it up last night. They're talking about how now they have a pride on the defensive end that didn't exist before.
Now,
and I think that's kind of a veiled shot at Jimmy. I really do. And Teague had one quote, and this was the quote that... One that Tyus had and one that Jeff Teague had that really stuck out to me last night. And I know I tweeted out Teague's. I didn't catch Tyus's all the way. Teague was asked, why have the Wolves finally got it together defensively? He said, I'm not sure. Maybe Rob and Dario and those guys coming over giving us a boost of energy. Guys just wanting to win. Those guys brought a winning mentality on defense. That sounds like a pretty veiled shot, especially considering that Rob and Dario were part of some pretty bad teams in Philadelphia. So it's not as if these guys are career winners. Rob Covington was on a team that won 10 games.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my question is, I'm sure there are probably some sort of side shots at Jimmy in these thoughts, but
and like Tyus,
but at the same time, it's kind of like, where was this pride and this whatever it is right now? Like, where was this before? Like, where was this before? Even like going back to last year when this team struggled on defense with Jimmy, and they were winning games and they were in the playoff hunt, but we were always frustrated with how with their defense, with Wiggins' defense, with Cat's defense, with Teague's defense. And then obviously they were, the whole Jimmy thing happened in training camp and they got out to a bad start, and we know why, because that whole thing was just, was just a mess and they were terrible defensively. But I guess my question is, like, why is the pride for the defense showing now? Because I know part of it is because Jimmy is gone, and
part of it is
that extra boost of energy that
I think part of it is the way Covington plays defense and how his skill set defensively fits in. Boosts them all. I think that he's a player that has that infectious defensive attitude. And that's not to say that, you know, he's a I do think he is a good leader, but that's not to be like he's the be-all, end-all savior of this defense. Mm-hmm. I think that he's helped tremendously, but I think that these guys have all stepped it up. I think that they're trying to prove that they're better without Jimmy Butler, that they have pride now, that they want to prove
motivated.
They're motivated. And I don't have the full Tyus quote, but I have parts of it. Yesterday when he was asked about it, he goes, we're just focusing on it now. We're finally taking pride in it. They didn't take pride in defense when Jimmy Butler was here. That has changed. That's the biggest difference in this team. They have not allowed a team to score over 110 points since Covington and Sharch started playing for the Wolves. It's been 8 games.
Man.
And in today's NBA, the way that offenses have absolutely exploded, that's remarkable.
Does it make you wonder about Jimmy too? Because
of course.
Because
it has to.
Because it's like, because we talk about, like, Jimmy's one of the best two-way players in the league, and, oh, he's a good defender, and he's competitive, and he always talks about, yeah, we gotta push these guys, and these guys got to work hard, and, you know, I work hard and all of this. But it's like that wasn't driving these guys to get better defensively.
He didn't fit in.
Yeah.
And that matters. It doesn't matter as much in Major League Baseball. And we talked about this on Mackie and Judd a little bit yesterday.
Correct.
It doesn't matter as much in baseball when there's 25 dudes in that clubhouse and 40 in September. It doesn't matter in football where, you know, if you're a wide receiver and you hate a defensive back, that means nothing. It matters in basketball. There's only 15 dudes in that locker room. Chemistry matters. That is a there's a direct correlation of how much you like each other to how well you play on the floor. Look at the Golden State Warriors and the mess that they've been the last month. There's evidence that that's not a good chemistry right now in that locker room.
Yeah.
Now, granted, talent is going to win out to some extent, but when you're not fortunate enough to have five all-stars on your roster, it matters more.
So one of them is out, yeah.
Well, three of them are out right now in Golden State with Boogie and Draymond and Steph. I mean, Steph's coming back Saturday, but they have three all-stars missing, so that's a big reason as to why they're not winning. But I think that the chemistry there is not great. Look at the Lakers in 04 that lost to the Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
Why'd they lose that series? Because those guys hated each other.
Yeah.
They didn't lose that series because Detroit was a better basketball team than that. Please.
But Detroit had the chemistry.
Yes. It matters.
It had the chemistry.
It definitely matters.
It was a perfect mix with Chauncey and Sheed and Ben Wallace and Rip and
Tayshaun.
Yeah. Boy, Tayshaun was great.
And the Wolves have great chemistry right now. And that's something that.
Yeah.
Is a huge reason as to why they've been arguably the best team in the NBA since they made the trade.
Well, and I'm curious to for the Sixers now too to watch this sort of thing play out. And this might be a much better fit for Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia with those guys. Who knows? But I'm very curious to see because I mean, look, at this point last year when Jimmy was here and the team was winning and winning some games. There was a thought that Jimmy had come in and change the attitude
changed
and everything
the culture.
Changed the culture and everything. And so now he's in Philadelphia and he's hit a couple game winning shots and they're winning some games now and everything. So there's sort of that thought there. But at the end of the season, when we get to March and April, I'd be curious to see where the Sixers are at. And maybe they're fine. Maybe they're even better than what we thought.
I think the Sixers issue now is depth. They don't have depth.
Yeah,
I think it's overlooked how much they miss Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova that they signed after they were bought out last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's overlooked how much they miss them because they were a 500 team. They were 25-25 through 50 games, and they won like their last 18 games of the season. That's why they finished with 50 plus wins.
Yeah, so the Sixers will be an interesting team to watch. All right, the Celtics. Coming to town this weekend. The Rockets coming to town. The Hornets coming to town. So the next couple of games at Target Center should be a lot of fun to watch. Thanks for listening to the Raised by Wolves podcast. You can follow Danny on Twitter at RealDCunningham. Follow me at MannyHill84. And until next time, enjoy your Wolves basketball over the weekend. For Danny Cunningham, I'm Manny Hill. Talk to you then.